Because the intellect will show us Jesus is not God. But our will has to be almost act against our intellect and say he is God. Therefore, in Neo-Orthodoxy and existentialism, they will downplay the role of reason, of intellect. Now, let me come back to say something here. And unfortunately, many evangelicals, or many, if you like to use the word fundamentalist, and particularly in Chinese church, last generation, many Chinese leaders saying, don't ask any questions. Probably you know about that. They say, if you ask questions, show that you don't have any faith. And they're emphasizing, don't ask these questions. No reason at all, just believe. Now that's the kind of, I'm talking about particular last generation, particularly in Chinese church. Some of the last generation leaders are emphasizing. Say, well, don't be involved in education, don't be intellectual. All you have to do is just believe, just be a believer. No reason at all, no basis at all. Okay. What they are saying, the last generation particularly, last generation Chinese Christian leaders, what these people are saying is exactly the same, I mean on this point, the same as these Neo-Orthodox are saying. There is no reason as a basis of faith. And that's the way they talk. I don't know whether you have been confronted with this or not. I think maybe you are younger, but maybe you don't confront this kind of people, but there are some people. When you start talking about reasons, they say, oh, when you begin to talk about reasons, you are non-spiritual, you are not spiritual. Spiritual person doesn't talk about reason at all. Now, that's what they're saying. But that's not what the Bible says. Okay. What they're saying is exactly the same as the Neo-Orthodoxy. I say, our reason, people say, well, you ask too many, if you ask many questions, well, you lose your faith. Exactly, this is what they're saying. They say our intellect tells us that there is no God, intellect tells us that Jesus is not divine, but I better somehow just use my will against the intellect, against the reason to believe, which is total nonsense. Okay? So, because this kind of theory are very popular, particularly in many so-called church colleges, in the courses they're offering, teaching this. In many, even in some state universities, state colleges, in their department of religion, they're teaching this kind of thing, this kind of stuff. So I just take time to explain to you, so that you know, when you confront them, you know what kind of thing they're talking about there. Okay, therefore, also, of course, they will say, again, this is very, very strange thing. Bible is trustworthy, yet fallible, full of mistake, witness to revelation.
Okay.
Now you said, okay, if this is fallible, then how can you say it is trustworthy? Doesn't make sense, right? Well, don't use your sense. Don't use your reason. They say in the Bible there are many, many mistakes. There are many, 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 many myths. There are many, many nonsense things in the Bible. But still, it is a trustworthy witness to revelation. Okay. And this is one thing which I said a moment ago, which is very important. One can experience revelation, but never pure communication. See, that way, they can take away the proposition away. Because if you involve, if anything, suppose I make some kind of statement, any kind of proposition, the proposition will provide a basis for us to check the accuracy, right? Whether it's true or not. Therefore, they try to remove that. They try to remove the proposition that way, so that you, there is no way you can check what he said is true or not. You can check them with the intellect. So they try to downgrade the reason or the revelation. Francis Schaeffer, a few years ago, wrote a book. The title is called The Escape from Reason. And I saw the Chinese translation over there too. Now he is really pointing this one point out. He is pointing out this out. There's a new theology and a new existentialism, new theology. Really try to avoid reason and downgrade reason. So I hope we will know what our enemies are talking about, are talking, so that we would not talk the same thing as this, the enemy of the gospel are talking, even though we come from a different motive. Of course, these neo-orthodoxy are talking like that. Well, they like to talk like that way, so that in effect they are saying, well, there is no basis for your faith at all. So what you believe is, in other words, missing superstition. In other words, they won't say it. They won't use the words. But if you read their whole system, what they are saying is that faith is superstitious. But there's no reason, no basis at all. Okay. While some of the evangelical leaders, or the, our particular in our own Chinese church leaders, last generation particularly, they're saying there is no reason at all, just believe. They want you to believe, but not ask questions. The neo-orthodoxy try to tear down your faith, so don't ask any, no reason at all. They come with the two different motives, but actually they're saying the same thing here. So this is very dangerous. Now, secondly, they talk about Christological. What they're saying is God's word to man is Jesus Christ. God's word to man is Jesus Christ. Therefore, only that which witnesses to Christ is binding. Only those which witnesses to Christ is binding, namely is authoritative. And the doctrine are really understood, any kind of doctrine in the Bible are only understood, only they are related to Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Let me say it this way, another way. God's word to man is Jesus Christ, and only that which witnesses to Christ is authoritative. And the doctrine are understood only they are related to Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Okay. If any doctrine is not related to Jesus Christ, for that doctrine is not authoritative, it's not binding. And if you understand some doctrine apart from Jesus Christ, you misunderstand that doctrine. In other words, that's what they're saying. Okay? Yes. Orthodox? Well, Orthodox is the historical Christianity. Okay, let me say something about this proverb here, boss. Orthodox in Chinese is 正统. Okay, would that help you? Okay, 正统. Okay, since I'm speaking in English, so if I use some terminology which you don't understand, like this Orthodox, ask, I may translate into Chinese and that may help you. Binding is mean the authoritative. Your 权威, 就说 your binding, 意思就是说 your 效力, okay, 有效果, 就有它的权威. Yeah, here, okay. I'm sorry, I ought to show you this earlier. I'm sorry about that. That's what I mean by that, okay? Only that which is related to Christ is binding, and the doctrine are understood only when they are related, only related to Christ.
Okay, thirdly, what they usually what they talk about totality principle. Namely, when you look at one particular passage or some passages, okay, they say that's not important. What's important is the totality of the message of the Bible. Okay, let me use one example here. For example, they said Bible many times tell us not to commit adultery. And they say, okay, how do you know? The Bible said very clearly, say, well, these are come out from this individual text. That's not important. What's important is what the totality of the Bible say. The totality of the Bible say God is love. Okay? God is love. So if committing fornication, adultery is loving, then that's okay. Now that kind of mentality. That's what I mean by totality. Okay. They do not talk about, okay, let's look into the what this particular passage has to say. Now that's not important anyway. They talk about the totality. But there is a very great logical difficulty or logical fallacy here. If we do not know the individual passages, if we cannot understand individual passages, then how do we know what is the totality of the Bible? Right? The totality of the message of the Bible is the sum, 总和, is the sum of the individual passages anyway. But usually what they say is, okay, the totality of the Bible is that God is love. Usually they like to talk like this. Okay, and God is love, solve everything. So what are you worried about? Don't commit adultery, do not steal, do not do this and don't do that. This kind of detail become nonsense. That's what they say. Okay. Now, another thing. Mythological principle. Mythology. Myth. Namely, they say in the Bible there are many myths. 很多的神话, 不是神的话, 是神话. Myth. Now, since there are many myths in the Bible, many myths, okay. Therefore, we should not understand what the Bible says, but we should understand what the Bible means. Let me explain a little bit what they mean by that. They say, not what the Bible says is important, but what the Bible means is important. The reason why, they, of course, in our understanding, we have tendency to understand myth as something not true, right? 我们说那个是神话, 或者鬼话, 神话是什么? Something not really true. I express some kind of message. Okay. For example, let me use this example here. They will say resurrection of Jesus is a myth. Yes, the fufo. It's like a myth. Resurrection of Jesus is a myth. Now what does it mean then? So if you say by myth, you say, oh, therefore Jesus never resurrected. The body of Jesus is still in the tomb. Probably other people say, okay, the resurrection of Jesus is a myth, means that. But they say, well, it mean more than that. By myth, they are saying, okay, the resurrection of Jesus, of course, never take place, because there is no supernatural thing anyway. So the resurrection of Jesus never take place. But the myth of the resurrection of Jesus communicate to us the fact the inference of Jesus goes beyond his death. Even Jesus is dead, his inference is still among us, among human race. Therefore, that is what resurrection of Jesus represents. Okay? Therefore, that reason why I said, do not just find out what Bible says, but try to find out what Bible means. And they say, okay, but resurrection of Jesus, Bible means, Bible does not mean that body of Jesus came out from tomb, but rather the influence of Jesus is still going on even after his physical death. That's what it means. Okay, let me use another example here. They say the second coming of Jesus, second coming of Christ, second coming of Christ is a myth. Now, of course, usually what do we mean by myth? We understand myth to be, okay, therefore Jesus never come back. The coming of Jesus never take place. The second coming of Jesus never take place. But of course, they are saying, yeah, true. The second coming of Jesus will never take place. But if you stop there, you haven't understood the myth yet. Because the myth of second coming of Jesus communicate one truth. Namely, man cannot find his own happiness and meaning in purely historical existence. Man needs something more than this naturalistic life to meet his happiness, to make him happy, and to express this kind of truth. The Bible used the myth of second coming of Christ. Do you understand what I'm talking about now? Wow, it is still above your head. Let me explain that in Chinese a little bit first. Okay. 他们所说的 myth 是什么呢？我们平常的人说 myth 是比如说 myth， 比如说我们讲说耶稣基督再临是一个 myth， 他们讲啊，耶稣基督是一个 myth。那在我们平常的头脑里面说 OK myth 是什么呢？就是不实在，没有这件事情发生，对不对？所以我们说什么叫做 myth？ myth 就是说 well 耶稣基督不会再来了，就是 myth。 不过他们说，哎，如果你停在那里的话，你还没有完全了解圣经的意思。 OK， 耶稣再来，这是 myth， 没有错。可是什么意思呢？就是说耶稣不会再来，可是耶稣再来这个 myth 要来代表我们能知道，OK，我们不能够靠这一个自然界的我们的生活来满足我们的需要，来使我们得到幸福。我们的幸福 has to come from beyond this。 这个自然界，所以要表达这一点，他们说造成一个故事或者造成一个教理，说耶稣要再临。那懂得什么叫 miss 了吗 ？Do you understand what they mean by miss now？ OK。 So actually they are saying miss is not nothing， not happening， not much， not that， but for miss is something which will not happen， yet miss is a vehicle。 It's a vehicle, a means to convey some kind of belief or some kind of 信念, some kind of belief. Do you understand that? Let's get it gradually. I think it takes a while for you to digest. It takes a while to digest because when we are introduced to new idea, the first time it sounds so strange, and these are all strange. But I think the problem is because this has something to do with our biblical interpretation. That's the reason I'm talking like this. Okay. So just forbear a little bit. Probably if you come about this second time or third time, you begin to understand. But the first time you had a difficulty. I know. I don't know if you have some difficulty here. Okay. Okay. They talk about incarnation. And the cross. Incarnation means 道成肉身. Now incarnation is a myth. Namely, not a divine, a God, the second person of Trinity came down and become man. They said that's myth. Incarnation is a myth. But they are saying the myth of incarnation, okay, represent one truth. Namely, the solution to man's problem of guilt and sin is not to be found in human dimension. It has to come from beyond man. Incarnation, the myth of incarnation and cross, represents the fact that the solution to man's problem of guilt and sin has to be found somewhere beyond human. Namely, we human, ourselves, we cannot solve our problem of guilt and sin. Okay, to express this kind of belief, the myth of incarnation and the cross is to express this kind of belief. Okay? Now, think it twice, and maybe I can clarify later on, but this is the kind of thing they talk about. Now, let's go on to about 5:45 or so. Let me finish those 2 points. Anyway, what do you want to quit? Why is it too heavy for you? Maybe we can quit and come back at this tonight. Maybe that's a better way, if you are. All you like. Because this is, what we talk about, this is something rather heavy stuff. Particularly for those of you who heard about this first time. Shall we quit then? Maybe come back this afternoon, tonight, maybe more have the better effect.
复习一下，帮助我们了解，然后我们再来讲我们今天晚上要谈的一些事。 因为今天下午我们所讲的那个比较容易，比较难了解， 意思就是说 hard to understand, comprehend. Therefore, let me leave you a little bit here.
Okay, we talk about the propositional truth, and I try to during our recess, I try to think some way to make this into more understandable. So I come up with this. What is a propositional truth? Propositional truth 是一个可以用文字或者是语言表达出来, 而且可以团结, communicate 的真理. Okay? The propositional truth is something which can be expressed by words and can be transmitted or can be communicated. Now that kind of truth is called propositional truth. Now this neo-orthodoxy will say revelation does not include this kind of propositional truth. Okay? 启示, revelation 没有包括这种可以用文字语言表达出来可以团结的真理。 Revelation 只是什么呢? Revelation 只是 the consciousness of God's presence. 就是当我们感觉到体会到神的存在, 神的 presence, 神的 presence 不只是存在, 就是神跟我们在一起, 在那种情况底下, 那个就是神的启示。 所以在启示的时候, 我们没有办法没有包括这样的真理。那既然启示的时候神的启示不包括这种真理，所以当然你没有办法把启示的内容告诉别人。 Therefore, there is no way you can communicate the content of revelation. That's the reason why they say a person may have an experience of revelation, but he cannot have any kind of communication. 所以就说一个人也许可以体验经验到启示， OK, 有启示的经验， 可是他并不能够把任何一个消息， 这样的消息， 这样的这个， 可以用文字语言表达出来真理， 传给别人， 或者是从神那里领受， 可以用文字语言表达出来， 可以传接的真理， OK? 所以啊， 圣经， 因此啊， 圣经并不是神的启示， Bible therefore is not the revelation of God. 圣经不是神的启示， 可是只是什么呢？ 圣经只是神的启示的见证， 就是圣经只是的 witness to the revelation of God. OK, therefore 从实际的观点看起来说， 我们来念圣经想要明白神的启示的内容， 那是完全错了。 They said it's wrong to come to the Bible to find out the content of the revelation of God. OK, that I try to tie up what they say with the topic we are dealing with. Is that clear? 有没有清楚? 或者是要再重讲一次。 就是说这本圣经不是神的启示， 这本圣经里面没有包括神的启示， 因为神的启示没有这个东西， 你只能够经验到神的启示， 可是神启示你什么真理， 你没有办法讲出来。 神启示的时候也没有什么把什么真理告诉你。 所以当然这本圣经里面并没有包括什么神的启示，这只是神的启示的见证而已。 OK,
since God does not communicate any propositional truth to us, okay, since the revelation does not involve the communication of the propositional truth, therefore, this is not the content of revelation, but only it is only a witness to revelation. Therefore, it is foolish, so to speak, or it is impossible to come to the Bible to find out the content of the revelation of God. 所以我们不可能到圣经里面来找出神启示的内容，所以念圣经就得不到这个东西。 OK， 这个就是跟我们来念圣经的那个完全不一样的地方。第二，他们所讲的就是说 Christological 就是基督，基督是一切的启示的中心，或者是基督是中心。所以啊，我们就说啊。 就是不管你讲什么事，不管圣经讲什么事也好，圣经里面所讲的一切，如果跟基督没有直接关系的话，那些内容啊，圣经所讲的这些东西根本没有什么价值，可以说是没有什么价值。OK， it is anything which is not related to Christ is valueless, so to speak. It is not binding. It doesn't have any effect. OK, therefore. Every doctrine in the Bible, or any, if you want to find some doctrine in the Bible, if that doctrine is not understood in relation to Christ, that doctrine, you do not understand the doctrine yet, you misunderstand the doctrine. 比如说你想说了解有什么圣经里面有什么教理，有什么真理，那个真理如果不是直接跟基督有关的话，那个真理，就说圣经里面你以为说你了解了一些真理。 可是这个真理啊，如果跟基督没有直接关系的话，你还没有完全了解那个真理。你换句话说，你就误解了那个真理。OK， 比如说啊，比如说我讲了一句话嘛，说你不给换监理，这件事，这件事你跟基督有什么关系？如果跟基督没有关系的话，你说换不要监理，那根本你误会了圣经的意思。OK， something like that， 就 yes。
Beyond the doctrine that
relates to Christ. Yeah, that's right. Anything which is any doctrine which is not directly related to Christ is just ignore. Okay.
Why do they think that way?
Because start from here about the problem of the propositional truth. Because they just try to repudiate propositional truth. But this propositional truth, they completely 所以最后他们以为是说，如果我连基督都丢掉的话，我就不是基督徒了。所以就 try to preserve that. Yes.
Why the doctrine related
to Christ? Because they say Christ is the Word of God. Okay, 基督就是神的话。 Christ is the Word of God. Therefore, is in another words, Christ, God communicates us through Christ, basically. That's what they say.
That means only those things is Christ's statement that is true.
Not Christ's statement, not some statement made by Christ, but anything which is not directly related to Christ is useless. Whatever you think, whatever you make, for example, you derive some kind of statement from the Bible, if it's not related to Christ, it's not binding. That is useless. Not valid. Yes. 对，所以他们自相矛盾在这里。That's right， 自相矛盾，所以他们一直在高。事实上啊，你念说这个书，你有发现了很多的矛盾的地方，在我们头脑里面讲起来很矛盾。矛盾原因是什么？他讲一个，等一下我们要讲到一个更麻烦的事，就是他们所谓 dialectic 和 paradoxical， 等一下会回答你到这个问题，那个问题更复杂的一个观念。 OK， 或者是讲不好听的话，更没有意思的观念，那这个就是那个 Francis Schaeffer 在写这本书，在攻击他们，攻击很厉害。OK， yes， 强调我们的信心嘛，能够晓得他们错，那错在那边，我们不要被他骗去了，因为今天在世界上很多。 很多教会都是讲这套东西，如果你不小心的话，你也说，哎，你讲的是蛮真的呀、啊，他高举基督嘛，所以我们说啊，这个很俗领去的。
就完了，啪啪啪完了，所以我才讲这个。OK， 还有一个原因就是说，有人说法说，你看，像你，因为我等一下要讲一步一步来怎么查经，他说你这个讲这个查经根本是 miss the point， 你想要到从圣经里面来找出神的启示的内容，根本圣经里面就没有神的启示的内容，你找干什么？所以我们要对付这一种说法。